Pray with me. Dear God, on this day, we ask that you do that very thing, that you help us to open our hearts, that we would more than hear your word, that we would experience your word, that it would plant seeds in our heart and take root and grow, that it might affect change in who we are and how we live and for whom we live. Lord, on this day, I ask that you empty me. You so fill me with your Holy Spirit that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you. Pray this in all things, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In an article by Pavel Goya titled, God is Love, Know It, and published in Ministry Magazine, he writes this: the religious leaders in Jesus' time may have had wonderful doctrines, but they had lost the central point. God is love. We need to make sure that we believe, think, and how we act is centered on, depends on, and is tested by this main truth. Otherwise, it has no power. I read this to say that Christ's mission was to restore the idea that God created humankind in God's own image by love, with love, for love, because God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul begins writing about love in God's church and between God's people, and he says, if I have not love, I am nothing. If I know everything there is to know about everything there is to know anything about, and I don't have love, I amount to nothing. This notion in this four-part series, of which we're in part two, that God is love, has to permeate everything we do and every motive we have to do it in God's church. Doctrine and practice that fail to convey God's message of love are therefore inconsistent with God's very intent for human existence. Some might argue that it just isn't that easy, but the simple truth is, it is that easy. Our main mission as Christians is to be love and to extend God's love in everything we do. Otherwise, what we do, regardless of our effort, lacks the power of the Holy Spirit. What we believe, what we think, and how we act must seek to emulate Christ, and Christ's entire ministry was based on the truth that God is love. Christian community must therefore be based on the same truth and demonstrated in the way we care about and for one another in all things. This morning, I want to talk about how we communicate with one another within Christian community. Our ability to treat one another with love, grace, and kindness conveys the kind of community we choose to be. And quite honestly, I think we could be better. Right? I'll start by saying, in my working on 7 years here, working on 7 years here, I have witnessed a community that is full of God's mercy. When someone is in need, or when someone loses someone they love, when someone is in crisis, I have not been in the midst of a stronger community to convey mercy. You love one another with mercy like no other community I've been a part of. It's beautiful. But grace, on the other hand, the expectation that you would be graceful and receive grace in return, I think, is a little thin in this community, and I'll expound, right? In the passage we shared this morning, Paul says to the church at Corinth, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us." And then there comes this plea As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also, Paul says. This request comes after Paul has provided a long list of all the many ways he and the other disciples have sacrificed for the mission set before them, including having established this church in Corinth. And of course, there it is. All right. So I want to back up in this 2 Corinthians chapter 6 passage and start in verse 3 and read what Paul has said before he gets to this place that says that your hearts are not open. So we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Paul says. We have been honest and open with you, and you are not returning that which we offer, is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. And on top of all this, we have spoken honestly, and perhaps more clearly stated, we have risked being totally honest and open with you. All we ask is that you open your hearts and be honest with us in return. Honesty and vulnerability are expressions of love. When we are brave enough to be honest with one another, we are demonstrating God's love. Even when we don't completely trust one another in relationship, we can trust God to work in us and through us to build up relationship and to support us in our relationship. After all, God is love, and we are created in and for love as human beings. I'm going to do as Paul has done in this writing and be totally honest with you. Bless you. One of my biggest frustrations as a pastor comes from your inability or unwillingness, I'm not sure which, to communicate directly one with the other, especially in conflict. Furthermore, our unwillingness to risk honest communication between us in Christian community is one of the greatest inhibitors to our growth as a church, I believe. People know us in this community for our mercy. I'm not sure they know us for our grace. I don't think I'm stretching the truth when I say that unwillingness to be graceful between each other is an inhibitor to our growth. Human intuition gives us the ability to sense tension in another human before we are even able to talk. When my children were little, really little, if there was stress or tension in the household, the babies knew it, right? They could sense it. If Roshen or I was tired or stressed out or we had been disagreeing, and the babies would begin to fuss and cry, right? They knew something was up, even though they didn't know exactly what was going on. If I would bring stress home from work and I was all bound up, I would go to pick up my kids and they just wouldn't settle in my arms. They could tell that I was stressed out. The tension was noticeable. And then I found myself walking around the room with them in my arms, patting them on the back, saying, shh, calm down, it'll be okay. Shh, it's all right. Maybe I was shaking them a little, or maybe I was bouncing like this as I walked, trying to settle them down. And in the process of whispering, shh, it'll be all right, I found the tension leaving me until we were both more calm and more settled. Broken, untended, unhealed conflict is noticeable. It's palpable in community. And it inhibits the church from being as welcoming a place as it could be. And tending and healing conflict begins with our willingness to speak freely to one another, as Paul has said. So let's go back to the source of my frustration a little bit. Way too often, I am asked to enter a conflict between two adults in this congregation before those two adults have spoken to each other about the problem. Someone said something that offended me. I'm going to go talk to the pastor. Someone hurt my feelings. I'm going to go talk to the pastor. Right? That's the link. Inviting someone else into a conflict before you've spoken directly with the person with whom there is a concern is not demonstrating God's love. It's demonstrating mistrust and fear. But it demonstrates a lack of confidence that God's love exists either in yourself or in the other person. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. How much more, then, should we love those who are sisters and brothers in Christ in community together? When our brothers and sisters do or say things that hurt us or make us angry, we have to love them enough to seek to resolve the conflict, to take care of that thing that exists between us. Otherwise, we are saying that we are willing to allow the conflict to dictate our relationship rather than relying on the love of Christ to do the same. Jesus clearly states a model for resolving conflict in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15. It says this: "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses." That passage goes on to say what you do next in the third step. But when we skip the first step in this process, we are demonstrating a lack of confidence and a lack of willingness to open our hearts to each other. When we skip the first step, we are not demonstrating God's love or the expectation that we will receive it from the person with whom we have a disagreement. And genuine Christian community requires more than that of us. Let's face it, being in relationship with other human beings is hard, requires risk, because human beings are, well, human, right? We can do and say mean things, sometimes without even intending it. Sometimes it is intentional. Beyond that, we don't always hear or understand each other clearly. When this happens, our feelings can get hurt. When our feelings get hurt, there is tension that exists between people in relationship. This is the point when we have to lean into the love we profess to have received and that which we trust our brothers and sisters to have also received. It's the whole power and presence of the Holy Spirit thing that we need to lean into. Even if we can't address the conflict immediately, because we are too upset or too angry, we owe it to one another to risk having a conversation that will potentially resolve the conflict, expecting an exchange of God's love and grace in it, not fearing the worst. Because God is love, and those who are in God, or those who are in Christ, have Christ in them. And there's a spinning of here, right? We should expect our brothers and sisters in Christ to have as much grace, at least as we do. We should expect to meet Christ in this place of healing where conflict has existed. And we owe it to each other to have that happen sooner than later. Tension is generally not going to simply go away over time. In fact, unresolved conflict or tension has a tendency to get worse, not better, over time. Risking a difficult conversation demonstrates confidence in love itself. When we approach someone with love and expect to receive love in return, we can be surprised by how easy a resolution can come. Often, it requires only that we clear up a misunderstanding. Wait, what? That's what you meant? Oh, my bad. I thought you were saying this. And suddenly you're on the same page again. You're in the same place again. And this all requires practice. And what I sense is that as a congregation, we've just sort of gotten out of practice. And that's a gross generalization. I don't have a stream of people coming into my office every week saying that so-and-so did this and I'm upset. It just has happened enough times that I think it needs to be addressed. Like most things in life, our first attempt is way more difficult than further attempts. As we practice, we get better. In risking and successfully resolving conflict, we begin to have more confidence in the process. As we practice trusting love between the love between us, our level of trust increases and seeking resolution becomes our natural first response when we are hurt or offended. Remember, Jesus instructs us to have a conversation one-on-one with the individual who has sinned against you, which here can merely mean a person who has insulted you or hurt your feelings. Engaging in this first step conveys both that God's love is in you and that you believe God's love is in them. It's like saying, since we both love God and we know that God loves us and we have this disagreement, let's just talk about it. Let's just talk it out. Trusting that Jesus will show up. Last week we read, lots of toys. Last week we read in 1 John, and I'm going to read that again, and I'm going to continue to read in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Right, that subheading for this passage is love one another. Lots of good instruction in this passage. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Continuing, verse 13. And God has given us his Spirit of proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Right there, we need to stop right there and say, again, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Let that be the basis for entering conversation with someone with whom you've had a scuffle. Believe that God lives in you and God lives in them. And even if you don't trust them, trust that God is in them and God will show up, making more of that resolution than we ever could on our own. That's how God works. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. This is the basis of Christian community, folks. Christian community that lacks love fails to be Christian at all. Unwillingness to name and resolve tension and conflict between brothers and sisters is quite simply unloving and unbiblical. We must be willing to open our hearts to one another in conflict. When we do, we clearly demonstrate that we love one another and that we care more about our relationship than the hurt feelings or anger that exists between us. This is hard stuff. Right? This is where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. This is where the phrase, if Jesus doesn't make us different, what difference does Jesus make, comes. Right? If Jesus doesn't make you and I different, what difference does Jesus make? It's a challenge. Lately, I've responded to invitations to enter conflict between two other people with this question. Have you spoken with the other person about this yourself? It's really not what people want to hear when they come to my office seeking me to resolve something that has happened between two other people, but it is the most loving thing I can do. If I don't encourage people who profess God's love to act upon that love, I am not leading in Christ. For I have to trust that whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. If I don't, I am not living in love myself. Let me be clear. I am with you on step two in the conflict resolution model, right? I am willing to work with people to help resolve conflict. That's part of what I am called to do in this place. But it is only one thing, and also on that list of helping this community move is move towards spiritual maturity. And I believe that basing our relationships and love will move us towards spiritual maturity. I'm going to encourage always you to engage in step one. Have a conversation one-on-one. See what God can do between you. If it doesn't resolve things, I'm glad to help any way I can. I'm always going to push towards step one. And I haven't always. I will admit, I have sometimes failed and got jumped right in. Like became the point of the triangle, right? Because I like to fix things. I like things to be okay. I like things to be all nicey-nice. But that is not the most loving position for me to take or the most loving action for me to take. We cannot mature as a community if our hearts are not open enough for us to demonstrate love for one another in all things. I commend you for the way that you show God's mercy. I ask that you demonstrate God's grace and expect to have it demonstrated to you as much. We talked about it limiting our ability to grow as a congregation. I'm going to invite the praise team to come back up. I'm winding things down. We talked about the tension and the conflict that exists between us being an inhibitor to our growth. Can you imagine how welcoming and warm it is to walk into a space where people have loved each other through conflict and have strengthened their relationships one with the other? You know the difference that conveys over the tension that exists when there is disagreement between brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you understand how that totally changes who we are? We can be merciful all day, but if we don't have love, nothing. I pray we will continue to learn to love one another and that we will grow into Christians who demonstrate that we live in love and that we live in God and that God is in each of us. Love one another. It is worth the risk. This is Valentine's season. We had planned to order conversation hearts, the little sweetheart things that have words on them for to pass out this morning. But those are hard to come by this time of year. So we got these nice lollipops that say this, do the same thing, convey the same message. As a gesture of love, one us to you and you to each other and whoever else you might share them with, there are lollipops available for you to grab on the way out, suckers with sayings on them. My notes just say suckers, like, and that's really not what... That's really not what I'm meaning to convey at all. But there are suckers available, which I prefer to call lollipops in this setting, right, that are available for you as you leave today. Take them, share them. If we don't need leftovers, so take what's left and just have them serve as a reminder that we are, when we are in God, God is in us, and God is in others, and we should trust God, even when our trust in each other has been rubbed, right? It's been nipped a little. That's what makes us different. That's what makes Christian community different than community in general. Go and be loved.